Right, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Let me get rid of my gum. Hebrews 11. We're going to read some very classic verses of Scripture on Hebrews that I just want to have a refresher course on, a basic course on faith. All right, so chapter 11, verse 1, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, it is substance. Another translation says it is the realization, it is the manifestation, it is the reality of things hoped for, and is where it says the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. All right, now that's something about faith that, you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that the just shall live by faith, right? Okay, it's important that we know that. We don't live by reason. We don't live by sight. Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, I'm just going to rattle off all these scriptures, so if you're taking notes, just write them down. We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, go with me there, just a chapter before 11. And we're going to read a verse of scripture there. Who would like to read verse 38 of chapter 10? There you go. So the just, who would consider yourself just in Jesus tonight? I'm not just in my own works. I fall short. I'm a sinner, right? We're all sinners. But in Christ, I am justified by faith, right? So we are just, we stand in a right relationship with God through Christ. Not in our own merit, not in our own works, not in our own goodness, but in Christ's goodness, all right? How do we have our life sustained? The just shall live by faith. Okay, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, please. I just want to impress upon us the importance of faith in our lives. Galatians chapter 2, and who would like to read verse 20? Okay. Okay, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by what? By faith. Do we see the recurring scriptures? Do we see the recurring messages? That in this life, we are to live this life by what, church family? By faith. Okay, who would like to go back to Hebrews 11 and read verse 6, please? There you go. Okay, that's a mouthful right there. With without faith, it is what? Improbable to please God? It's impossible to please God. So if I want to please the Lord, I'm going to have my faith active, right? When I pray, I'm going to expect that my prayers will come to pass, right, church family? And I'm not just going to stay with hope. Right? Isn't faith more than hope? Isn't that what we read in Hebrews 11, 1? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope doesn't get me what I want with God, does it? No. We have to believe in that hope. Hope is a confident expectation. Let's write this down. Confident expectation. Okay, if I handled my finances well, I have a confident expectation that come springtime, the Uncle Sam will give me a refund. Right? Or if the government announces that they're going to release a fourth stimulus check to all the American people, who has a confident expectation? Some of you rascals probably already spend it in your mind before you ever get the check in your hand. I know we do. He's like, babe, we need to. Okay. It's a confident, but faith makes that confident expectation happen. Right? It's one thing if I confidently live with expectation of something, but never, I don't know how to say this, never expected it to happen. Well, it wouldn't be a confident expectation otherwise, but faith is what makes things happen in our lives, okay? Now, I'm going to go very, very simple. I'm going to go very, very old school on you because really, faith is simple. It's not very complicated. Who agrees with me that really having a childlike faith is what Jesus honors? Right? I mean, we had children around us, and I love their innocence, and I love their expectation, and I love when you tell them that they're going to get something, they believe you. They're not jaded, right? Our grandchildren aren't jaded. They haven't had deep hurt happen to them yet. They haven't been disappointed in a huge way. I pray never, but you know, in this life, stuff happens, right? And see, that's what I think has happened to a lot of believers, is they let hurt, and these hurts never heal. So you know what happens with hurts that never heal? Then we, the hurting, become the hurters. We hurt others. Hurting people hurt others. And then a wound left untended and left unhealed will become cynicism. Right? We become cynical. Oh, don't expect too much of life. Oh, I used to believe that way. I was just like you, Pastor Joe. I believed in childlike faith, but it got me nowhere. I know how the real world turns. I've heard it happen. You know, when we were in Mason City, and I like to provide stories to let you know that I know what I'm talking about. I've been through this stuff. And that is, we were talking amongst the elders about building a brand new building from the ground up, a $2 million project. The land had been donated by a farmer. I think it was like 5 acres of land. And I can't remember the square footage of the building. It was huge. It was like in the shape of a barn, 2 stories. And anyway, so we were talking about that. And I sometimes, I'm sure you probably noticed this in council meetings, I just sit back and observe. You know, I just keep my mouth shut because I've learned that I learn more just by keeping my mouth shut than by talking all the time. And that's a good lesson for all of us. I'm not looking at you, Miss Lila. You hardly ever squeak a peep. Anyway, but one of the elders said, well, I believe in faith, but we have to be realistic. Well, what part of faith is quote unquote realistic? That's not faith. It's funny how we justify our doubts, don't we? We wrap them up with reason. We say, I know better. You know, didn't we talk about experience this morning? Experience creates low ceilings. Well, I wish I could be like you, or not. They don't even say that. I used to be like you, but I know better now. You know what that is? That's a hurt that's never been healed. Cynicism is a hurt that's never been healed. You know, Tina Turner sang a lot of songs in her time. Who remembers Tina Turner? But all of her love songs, if you pay attention, they're very cynical songs about love. That one song that she sang with Bryan Adams, It's Only Love and That's All, it's a downplay on love. It dishes it because she was done wrong. by her, was it her first husband, Mr. Genius? Ike. And she never got over that, so that spewed off into her songs. And she sang them with great conviction. It's only love, or what's love got to do with it, right? And church family, we need to learn to guard our hearts. If we're going to maintain a childlike faith, we have to protect our hearts, guard our hearts. Listen, strive to keep innocence within us. Right? I was the one that was raised in a household. I remember, I think I've told you guys before, where my dad pulled me aside. I was age 14, and he was telling me, son, I'm just going to have to tell you the truth. Because, you know, in this world, you're only going to get the bitter truth. He said, by the time you're my age, he said, the world will probably run out of its resources. There won't be water. There won't be gas. There won't be... I'm thinking, really? And that's what his life was. His life was consuming newspapers as if it were the Bible. I wonder how many people would be spiritual giants today if they consumed the Bible the way many consume the newspaper. Or the 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock news. My dad, listen, whatever the Democratic president said was law and was dogma in my father's mind. And so when he saw that I started breaking out of these ceilings, these low ceilings, he didn't know what to do with me. Because at first he thought, oh, it's a phase. We'll just tease him a little bit about his faith, call him Holy Roller, call him Holy Joe, call them this and that, Protestant, and all that. And they called me all that. And that, you know, that stopped after a while. After he saw that my other brothers gave their lives to Christ, and he saw the change in their lives, then all of a sudden, maybe this guy is serious. Interesting, huh? The respect you garner when people stick around long enough to see that your change is real. And it outlasts criticism and it'll outlast persecution. Come on, somebody. Right? But all throughout that process, listen, we have to maintain a childlike faith. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. So far, so good, everybody? So Jesus saw the faith of those four men that lowered the paralytic, didn't he? He saw their faith. How does Jesus see faith? He sees action. He sees the action of their faith. So what does faith look like? Okay? Who would like to read verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4, please? Okay, what is the spirit of faith? Let's write this down. Very simple. Spirit of faith. What two components comprise the spirit of faith? I believe, that's the first component. What's the second component? I spoke. I do not believe that a person can be a person of faith and have a heart full of faith and speak negativity. Do you? No. Out of the abundance, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't that what Jesus said? So if your heart is full of faith, what are your words going to be dripping with? Faith. Right? I believe, and therefore I have spoken. So let's write this down. Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. If we learn how to use our faith deliberately, I'll show you how that looks. What that looks like. As a farmer deliberately plants seed in the ground and waters it and tends to it and expects a harvest, faith is a lot like farming. Number one, Do farmers just leave a ground to themselves and let the ground do its own thing? You have to work your land, right? So it's, faith is the same way. You have to deliberately use your faith and understand the way faith works. Number one, faith starts with believing, but faith does not end with believing. Faith will manifest in speaking. Who agrees with me as Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue? And they that love it, the King James Version says, shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love to speak death, what are you going to reap? Death. Oh, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Who's ever heard somebody say that? Jeez Louise. Well, is it any wonder that you're not blessed? What if we changed our conversation or our even our self-talk? Who believes that we all have self-talk? In our quiet moments, the way we think of ourselves, the way we talk about ourselves. Listen, we have to be very, even I have to be very careful, because sometimes my self-talk is always demeaning. It demeans me. It puts me down, believe it or not. And so I have to watch it and believe, no, not because of me, but because of Christ, I'm a child of the King. I am highly favored of the Lord. God sees me and God sees you the same way he sees Christ. John chapter 17, Jesus said, Father, may they know, may my followers know that you love them the same way you love me. Do we see ourselves that way? Do we say, I'm highly favored? You know, I might not deserve the blessings of God, but I'll receive them on purpose, and I won't be shy to ask for them. Come on, somebody. Because I believe in the Word of God. It's an act of, listen, faith is simple. It really is not complicated. It's an act of the will. Okay, so let's say I'm faced with pain. When I had COVID, you know, there were times, gosh, darn, that thing kicked my butt royally. I would walk out to the porch just to try to get some fresh air. And with all the body aches and all the shallow breathing and that horrible metallic taste and the headaches and everything, I would just say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I could barely say him because my breathing was so shallow. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, instead of I'm sicker than a dog, I feel like crap. But how many of us talk that way? See, we need to deliberately plant seeds of God's word. And how do we plant them? By speaking them. Right? Do you ever pay attention to people's prayers? Lord, we pray that you undertake. We're just lowly worms. We're just poor little pilgrims trudging through the heat and the cold. So footsore and so poorly shod. But at the end of the journey, there's God. Gee. A lot of people's prayers are defeatist prayers, right? They defeat themselves. They don't pray. Listen, church family, we need to learn how to pray prayers that complement the greatness of God. Lord, I pray that you change their lives. Holy Spirit, you are more than capable to get them saved, to open their spiritual eyes, to lead them to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Right? You know, Cindy's daughters were up, thank God, and the one that has been the little lost sheep. Cindy gave her a Bible. You know, we decided to get her a Message Bible where she could understand it. And that girl's eyes just teared up, and she was tearing up. You know, she was crying when she got that Bible. And we just keep praying for that girl. Don't we, babe? We just keep praying for that girl. And her little daughter, Kalia, she calls me Papa Jesus. So that's what I expect to be called here on, people. PJ now stands for Papa Jesus, no longer Pastor Joe. Okay, so it starts with believing and it goes into speaking. Didn't we read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, that the spirit of faith is first component believing, second component is speaking. And listen, in some cases, there has to be what I'll call this. Let me, instead of erasing, plus corresponding action. I vaguely remember a story about a little boy who was praying for rain. And the next day he wore his rubber boots and he went out with his rain jacket and his umbrella. The sun was shining and somebody stopped him and said, "Why are you dressed like this?" And they said, "Because I'm praying for rain." Right? Isn't that corresponding action? Shouldn't we expect, and whenever actions are appropriate, shouldn't we act according to what we pray for? I've got to be honest. I've gotten a lot of answers from God, and maybe some of you have experienced this, and you were shocked when you get what you've prayed for. Who's had that happen to you? I was shocked, like, oh, really? And I bet the Lord thought, okay. There's a man of faith and power. But we should act accordingly. You know, I remember I told you the story before. When I was a senior in high school, the Lord gave me great favor. And they pulled me out of class a lot because they found out I was an artist. So I would draw all the basketball game posters. I would draw the football game posters. They just loved me because I was like, great. I don't have to talk about it. I don't have to sit in on science and I don't have to sit in on this class and geometry. I said, I'd like to go draw instead. So anyway, it was a win-win. And they had a contest for the El Paso High School. They had a classification for individual artists or two artists. And there was a buddy of mine and I that we talked about it. And we said, why don't we join in together? Because he was good at drawing buildings. So what he did, he drew the building of the high school. It's a very historic site there in El Paso, Texas. El Paso High School is. And then I drew a tiger, which was our mascot. And I was praying, Lord, I pray we win first place for the, I don't know what you call it, the team drawing instead of the single drawing. We were praying, and so they gave the award to, because it was first, second, and third place, they gave the award for the single drawing, the one-person drawing, and then it came to the two-person drawing, and they were going to announce, and I got up from my seat, and all my friends are like, "Do you really think you're going to win?" I said, "It's called faith, right?" So I started walking down the stands before they even announced the winner. While I'm walking down, they announced the winner, and I'm there waiting for my other friend to get down. We won the contest. A friend of mine asked me after that, "What if you hadn't won it?" Well, I would have gone to the restroom. My mama didn't raise no fool. Nothing wrong with that, right? Anyway. Okay, so there has to be a measure of corresponding action. You know, I made a statement this morning, which is, I think it's very true. Who believes that faith is action? It's not just believing something. It's not just praying something. The way I once heard it when I was a teenager was, if somebody, let's say you were in your car, and if somebody ran up to you and said, "Your car is on fire," what would you do? If you sat in your car and said, "Okay, thanks," and drove off, you didn't really believe them, did you? What would you do if you really believed someone who told you your car's on fire? Get out! Right? Isn't faith like that? Wouldn't we be better if we acted on what God... This is faith in the simplest definition. Acting like what God told you is true. Because it is. Right? Faith is action. So I have to get my, number one, believing right. Yes. I have to get my speaking right. Go with me to Mark 11. So far, so good, everybody? And make this a lifestyle. Verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. He's going to tell us, he's going to teach us how to have faith in God, okay? For assuredly, who agrees with me that assuredly, when Jesus said assuredly, you can walk out or walk away with assurance, right? I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but does what? Believes that those things that he, what's the next word? Says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. Isn't speaking a part of faith? Right? And then the conclusion is verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, what's the next word? Believe that you receive them and you will have them. You want to know how the Greek reads? Thank you. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, past perfect tense, and you will have them. Interesting. You have three verb tenses. See that? When you pray, present tense, believe that you have received them, past perfect tense, and you shall have them, future tense. Very simple. Lord, I pray that, let me give you an example. You know, I remember when several years ago, when I was working full time for hospice and our census was low, and I knew how much money I needed to make bi-weekly to make ends meet. And sometimes the census was lower than in layman's terms, I would have more months left than check, right? Isn't that the way you say it? You have more month left over than you do check. And I would pray. And this is the way I would pray. Lord, I pray that you would somehow, some way provide for me to have more patients to see this following week so that I can make ends meet. I believe that I have received them. Therefore, I believe I will have them. I believe I have already received them by faith, right? And I believe I will have them. And somehow the boss would say, hey, Joe, I need you to do some extra stuff for me and just rack up your hours. And I was like, sweet. It every time without fail, those prayers went answered. Believe that. Now, let's contrast that with, what am I going to do? Oh, God, poor little me. Here I am serving the Lord, and this is how I get rewarded? And all the while, God is saying, believe that you have received them when you pray, and you shall have them. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? The just shall live by faith. Isn't faith simple? Believing, speaking, and acting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for refresher courses, Lord, where we can remember, Lord, not to just sit by idly or helplessly, but Father, to dust off our faith and to put it into practice, Lord, to use it, to believe God for the manifestation of your promises in our lives. Father, there are so many needs around us, and I pray, God, you are the need-meeting God. We remember the words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, that you, we shall have all these other things will be added to us, Lord, in due time. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.